Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Deep Three episode. Today's guest, Trevor John. He plays in Constanța, Romania, via Drexel and Cal Poly. Trevor, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, Vlad, appreciate you having me, man.
So let's start a little bit backwards. Since this is your rookie year, you know, how's coming over for the first time, in Romania during COVID? How has this transition been for you?
I think it's definitely been interesting just with the state of the world right now. I think everybody's having to make some adjustments that they've never had to make before. Teams are, you know, financially maybe in a position they've never been in before. So really at this point, the biggest thing is it's great to have a job first and foremost. You know, spots were definitely very competitive for Americans this time around, even more so than usual. So I think that was the first major adjustment was, man, just make sure you can get over to Europe. But besides that, it's trying to maintain, you know, your social distancing, wearing masks, you know, taking all the precautions that you can so that, you know, you can end up having a season, and be able to get to play in some places, maybe in front of fans, and others, maybe not. But the biggest thing is just trying to build that team chemistry early and trying to, you know, get stuff set up so you can get to play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing, just starting to play in general. And what were your expectations, you know, coming over, I'll say first year, did you have any expectations or how has this transition been for you, as a rookie?
You know, so far it's been pretty smooth. I think maybe for myself, maybe it's been a little bit easier than other rookies, just from the standpoint that I moved around a lot when I was younger. So I'm used to being in new situations, you know, new places, different cultures. Obviously this is a little bit different because there's a full language barrier. But we got some terrific, you know, other Americans with me that I'm living with and we all get along great. And the other, you know, the Romanian guys on the team are fantastic. The coaches, the support system is terrific. And they've done a good job of trying to bring us along and help bring down that cultural barrier a little bit and make things as easy for us as possible.
That's awesome. That's good news. And now since you mentioned, you know, moving around a lot growing up, you know, coming from a basketball family, let's say that way, you know, how has that helped you, or how has that shaped your goals of becoming a basketball player, just being part of a basketball family?
I think the biggest thing is that you learn stability and you learn that nothing is given, right? I think it's really important to understand that you may not always be in terrific situations, but you have to help find your own way and find your place where you can make an impact or a positive impact, you know, whether it's as an athlete, as a person, as a student, as a child or as a parent. I think you just have to try and find your way. And I think being thrown into those situations head first is the best way. I think life's greatest teacher is experience. I think you can only, you know, have the greatest takeaways from each experience by being thrown in kind of head first, maybe a little bit blind, and trying to find your way. You know, I think those are the most lasting experiences that you'll have are the ones where you had to find your own way. And then just, from the basketball standpoint of it, I always had a mentor or somebody that I could go to and talk about my problems or, you know, try and learn or try and, expand my knowledge or expand my skill set. But I was never forced into anything by my dad, who was a coach. He never forced me into anything. You know, he always waited for me to come to him with questions or problems or, you know, whatever it may be. Aside from missing free throws, that's the one thing that he would get mad at me about. But other than that, it was, you know, he kind of sat back and let me come to him, and I absorbed things from a young age and just kind of continually kept working and, you know, pushing my way through, and hard work always triumphs, in my book.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you about that. And how was it? You know, I'm curious because you saw the side, the coach's side, basically before you saw the player side, right? So as you seen your dad as a coach, how has that affected your relationship with coaches down the line? Because to me, I think that could have helped you quite a bit understand coaches, understand coaches' stress, you know, understand what they're going through and how hard it is, you know, to manage you know, a college roster, to be honest with you. To me, that's one, you know, your livelihood depends on, you know, 18, 19, 20 year olds, you know, to feed your family. So has that helped you at all? Or have you been able to like learn anything just from being around a coach all the time?
Absolutely. I think you kind of hit it on the head right away by saying it's a very stressful job. You know, as a college coach, your livelihood depends on, you know, kids fresh out of high school to a couple of years out of high school, you know, 18 to 22. I think it's helped me develop an even greater respect and understanding for what my coaches go through, just having seen it firsthand from my dad. And you kind of, you gain that appreciation for how much work the coaches put in, you know, not just on, you know, day-to-day stuff, but like on a scouting report, you understand that these guys are putting in 10 times as much work as the film clip that we see or the plays that we're being asked to guard. Yeah. Like they put in 10 times as much work ahead of time. So I think from a basketball standpoint, that's what you learn. And then also just from managing personalities, understanding how to work with people who come from possibly very different backgrounds. You know, everybody's unique. I think the best coaches that I've been around or seen, you know, on TV or in the media or whatever, are those that are able to cater to their players and their unique personalities, their unique, you know, circumstances, whatever it is, and help elevate them to the highest of their abilities within the construct of a team. And I think that's such a huge understanding to have as a player. You know, sometimes we get lost in our own world a little bit, you know, and I think that's helped given me a little bit of a bird's eye view of, hey, there's a bigger picture here. And this is, you know, I have a better understanding of it, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And has that shaped your decision of going to college when you chose where you go into college? you know, how is that playing out for you as far as decision making, you know, with your dad being a coach? And, you know, you being able to reach to him because, you know, a lot of people have different people in their ear, right? So you have like an expertise opinion once college came around, you know, so how is that going for you as far as decision making and also transition? How has that helped you in transitioning from high school to college basketball?
I think the biggest thing that, you know, my dad helped instill in me was, you know, when I was going through the recruiting process, I was visiting different schools, you know, taking different visits and, you know, seeing the academic side of things, you know, the basketball side of things, and then the quality of life. His only piece of advice, I made the decisions all by myself. You know, it's my life. It's, you know, it's my time to make these important decisions as you go into adulthood. But the one piece of advice he did give me was to pick a place where you would be happy if you didn't have basketball. If basketball suddenly taken away from you, you know, whether it were from an injury or, you know, from anything else, would you be happy living, going to school and growing as a person where you are? So out of high school, that was a big message. I mean, that really resonated with me. And it really still has to this day. I mean, pick something where you would be happy. If your main thing, if stuff kind of hits the fan a little bit, pick a place where you would be happy and feel comfortable, you know, trying to grow as a person. So out of high school, I went to Cal Poly out of high school. That was a perfect match of great academics, a terrific basketball opportunity. And then it was a place that I was, you know, really happy as a person. And if basketball were to be taken away at any point, I would have been happy living in that situation.
No, that's great advice right there. Just for life in general, you know, you want to find a happy place or look for it, and then that's, I think that makes everything a little bit easier. And now, going this transition, you know, as a high school senior, going to your freshman year of college, you know, how was that transition for you, as far as the game, as far as the academic work, as far as the mental side of things, because it's a huge adjustment. I know, you know, all ball players have been through it. So, you know, how was that adjustment for you in general?
You know, for me, I think that it was a little bit, I wouldn't say easier from a off, I'm talking about off the court first. You know, I wouldn't say it was easier, but I was able to compartmentalize things, I think, a lot better because I mentally prepared myself for it, right? So in the springtime of my senior year, I had already signed and I was preparing to go to summer school in a couple months. And I heard that we were going to be having 5 a.m., you know, weightlifting and running sessions in the summer. So I prepared myself for that beforehand, you know, by just kind of easing my way into getting used to working out at that hour. Because, you know, going through it, it's the mental battle. I mean, it's 85% mental, maybe 90% mental, and, you know, the physical will take care of itself. So from the mental framework of things, I think the biggest thing is you have to be prepared. You're there to do a job. You know, that job needs to be completed each and every day. You know, no day can be taken for granted. From a basketball standpoint, at first, the speed of the game, you know, the first couple months, the speed of the game is definitely something you are surprised by. And even going into the first few games, you really are caught by the speed of the game, how fast guys are moving, you know, within a set offense, how hard the screens are being set, you know, how much more space there is on the court that you have to cover, you know, just coming from a smaller court in high school to a bigger court in college. And just trying to learn slowly but surely, you know, on and off the court, to try and help make yourself the most effective player you can. And then it's about finding a role, you know, whether it's at the Division I level as a freshman, whether you're expected to come play, whether you're expected to be, you know, maybe a reserve, you know, or if you're going to a different level of school and you're expected to go in and be the man. I think you have to understand and have realistic expectations of what your role is going to be, and then go in and try and make the most out of it and grow each and every day and utilize those resources that are around you, whether it be coaching or on the academic side, academic advisors, tutors, getting involved in the campus community, trying to help make yourself more comfortable, you know, finding your place.
You know, I agree with that. It's the mental battle that you're talking about. I think it's my high school coach used to tell me, you know, like mental is to physical, like four is to one. And as a high school coach, mm-hmm. as a high school kid, I never understood that. You know, I was like, Then like the older you get, there was like the more you understand. It's like, yeah, it's a mental battle that you have to win at first every day when you get up, and then you know, I think at least half the race is that. And now you talked about finding a role, and I think that's huge. That's huge for professional basketball too, as much as college. But to be successful as a professional basketball player, you have to understand your role. And what was your approach to preparing for that role in general, you know, as your approach to practice as a team and individually on your own, or, you know, getting individual workouts in the summer? What was your approach, you know, to the role and to trying to grow your game at the same time? Because you can accept the role and you can be great at it, but I think every player, you know, wants to do a little bit more, you know, at some point get a little chance to get out of that box, you know. So what was your approach on these two things, you know, just how to play the role the best of your ability and also help yourself and grow as a player?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between working on the things that will make you the most effective in your role, and then trying to grow and expand your game and work on things that will make you a more effective player. You know, whether it's you're a ball handler, you're a pure point guard, you know, you're a shooter, you're a big, you know, who sets screens, or you're a shot blocker, rim runner, you know, whatever your role may be, it's, I would say for me, You know, being for most of my life, you know, I've been a scorer. You know, my job has been to put the ball in the hole. You know, whether it was shooting or just, you know, just whatever it was, just trying to, you know, trying to score, right? So you try and find different ways to become more effective at your best skill, right? So let's, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I've been a you know, a knockdown shooter most of my life. It's finding ways to become better at those little things, right? It's not just going in and catch and shoot, you know, or getting passes from underneath the hoop, catch and shoot, working it, you know, 50 to 85% speed. It's okay, I'm working on today, I'm focusing on four different types of shots, you know, coming off of different directions, different, you know, angles, different foot patterns, you know, whether it's backpedaling or coming off of flares or a scramble for a loose ball and you have to sprint out to a three, you have to sprint out to, you know, to a different corner or working in transition, you know, or, you know, pick and roll stuff, you know, things like that. You have to find a way to win each day and work on a few things each day, right? You can't get everything done every single day. So pick a few things each day. You know, for me, I go 6 days a week in the off season. So in my mind, okay, two of the days I'm working on my strengths right off the bat. Monday, Tuesday, I'm working on, you know, I'm working on shots off the catch, you know, working at game speed 100%, you know, with a defender in my face. I'm working on those types of shots. I'm trying to get my rhythm down. I'm trying to get my foot speed up. Okay. Next couple of days, purely pick and roll work. Okay. Cause that, you know, basketball today is such a heavy screening game. You have to be able to score out of a pick and roll. So those next 2 days will be pick and roll work, right? Last 2 days, you're working on stuff that maybe you couldn't get to the 2 days before. You know, either you ran out of time or you ran out of gym space or, you know, whatever it was. You find those next 2 days, you find a way to get that work in on top of, okay, maybe here's something I'll use 10% of the time instead of the 90%, but I still want to have that in my bag just in case I need it. You know, whether it's acrobatic finishes around the rim, working on your offhand, you know, offhand floaters or something like that. Some maybe you, that won't be your top shot, but you need to have it just in case, because in a game, you never know what you're going to need to shoot. So there's that piece of it. And then you asked, you know, what's the difference between trying to grow your game and being successful in your role? Control the things that you can control. That's one of the mantras that I live by. Control what you can control. And in basketball, I'm sure your coaches beat this into your head as much as I did, or as much as they did to me, which is you can control your effort, your conditioning, your attitude, and your mental framework. You know, if you can lock those things down, you come in, you're in the best shape that you can be mentally. You're there, you're mentally present every single day. You know, your effort shows up, and then you have a positive attitude. That can take care of a lot of things, especially in coaches' eyes, when they're looking between two different guys. One guy maybe is a little bit more talented, but this other guy has all these other traits. The guy that, you know, has great conditioning, great attitude, great mental capacity, that guy's going to get the benefit of the doubt more times than not.
Absolutely. I agree. I love, I use control what you can control a lot too, especially since my injuries. You have to realize that, you know, you can't control anything on a basketball court other than, like you said, you know, your effort and coming ready mentally. Overall, I think that's huge to me. Like we said earlier, that's half of the battle, if not more. Just being there mentally, not just physically, when, you know, your head is in a different space and you're just there physically. Almost like an out-of-body experience. But
yeah, seriously.
Guys like that, you know, just go through the motions and crazy talented, you know, just... But it's to me, if you want to get to a certain level, you know, you need that mental side of the game to be, you know, A+. And now let's get the college part of it. You know, you're a Cal Poly, then you transferred, right? The grad transfer to Drexel. And at Drexel, you know, you play 32, 33 minutes a game. So a different role than Cal Poly. You know, again, what was that? Why Drexel, and then how is the adjustment made, you know, from, I believe you're playing like 19, 20 minutes at Cal Poly your senior year, and then you went to 32, 33. You know, you shot the ball extremely well from three, 42, I think 42% from three. You know, so he clearly felt like, you know, in the right spot, right? So why Drexel? And then I just want you to tell me, how was the process of transferring, but knowing that you're going there for 1 year?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, the grad transfer thing is definitely hit or miss. You know, you see nowadays, I think the last thing I saw last year, there was 900 grad transfers or 900 kids seeking a grad transfer opportunity. I mean, the market is crazy now. I mean, it's one of those things that it's extremely competitive. As for Drexel, when I was in high school getting recruited to Cal Poly, the lead recruiter for me was an assistant. It was one of the Cal Poly assistants who midway through my career at Cal Poly left to take a similar position at Drexel. So he's still an assistant coach. He became an assistant coach at Drexel from Cal Poly. So he was, you know, he had heard that I was talking about leaving, or, you know, that I got my release from Cal Poly to search for other opportunities. And, you know, he called us up right away, said, "Hey, would you think about coming back East? I mean, I know you're a West Coast guy, but would you think about coming back East?" And I said, "Absolutely. You know, let's set up a visit, you know, let's set up a phone call with the head coach and, you know, see how things go." So Coach Spiker, you know, Coach Zach Spiker had coached at Army before Drexel, and he coached my Cal Poly teammate, one of my roommates. He coached him at Army, you know, prior to that kid transferring to Cal Poly. He coached him at Army, and two of my other roommates and, you know, closest friends, they went on visits to Army when they were in high school. So there was just kind of this whole, you know, just small world thing where things kind of added up. I took a visit out there. They needed somebody that could come in and put the ball in the hole, you know, to help elevate the entire team. You know, we had a really good point guard, really good four man, another really good guard that could attack. We had a five man that was a beast on the boards and, you know, was fantastic in his role. So it was just a terrific fit. I took a visit. I loved the city of Philadelphia. You know, the academics were strong. I was going to get my master's degree, so that was important to me. It just felt like a great fit, just overall from the school, the basketball, you know, and then the lifestyle as well. And then I will say, just adding on to that before I get to your other point, the decisions you make at 22 versus decisions you make at 18, you have an extra 4 years of experience, of worldview, of maturity. You kind of take some extra factors into account, you know, when you're a grown up, right? Without being living on your own and paying all your own expenses, you're a grown up at that point. You have a college degree, right? So you're making these decisions maybe through a little bit different of a framework than you did 4 years prior when you were in high school. You know, maybe, oh, I like this school because it's the biggest name, or, you know, they got the coolest gear, or, you know, coach told me I'm going to come play right away. I wasn't promised any of those things. Like, I wasn't promised at Drexel. I was not promised a big role. They needed someone that could come make shots, but I wasn't promised 33 minutes a game, you know, starting every game. He said, "Hey, you're going to have to come in and earn it. You know, I got some good guys here. You're going to have to come earn it." So I think my experiences at Cal Poly, I always thought and knew just with the work I put in, you know, my effectiveness when I was in games, you know, my effectiveness in practice, I trusted myself that I knew what my abilities were. And I knew that I was prepared to take on a role like that, you know, if given the opportunity. And I saw that and took that, you know, I saw that opportunity and, you know, decided to run with it, you know, in transferring. But, you know, I have absolutely nothing against Cal Poly. I still, you know, I'm an alum of the school. You know, I still talk with all my boys, you know, some of my best friends in the world. But I needed a fresh scene. I needed some new to help expand myself, expand my game. You know, and worst case scenario, I come out of it with a master's degree. Best case, I have a good year, you know, and turn that into a professional opportunity.
And that's exactly what happened. And since you made this transition for me, you made it pretty easy. You know, as we have the same agent, so I know the story quite a bit, and you know, there were quite a few teams interested, but everybody in Europe, you know, like we said, they kind of see you in a box. It's just how they see players in general. And I know it was a disappointing first summer for you, right, coming out of Drexel. And a lot of teams were interested. Just, you know, if nobody pulled the trigger or whatever, it happened. You know, if it's life with trying to get a job in general. You know, you have five people for the job, and sometimes you don't get it. It just happens. What was your process? Because I've seen your highlight, I think, early your Drexel year, and I've seen you, you know, after a year off. But I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't have been a year off if it wasn't for COVID, you know, where basically most leagues shut down in February. So you missed almost half of the season, or, you know, at least the second half of the season. You know, so it's just a weird situation. You know, you didn't find a team in the summer, then COVID hits. But I've seen you play the next summer, right? So this last summer, I saw you play in Vegas. And to me, you improved a lot. That's where I understand how you improved a lot now, since you talked about it, right? Now I see how it happened. But what was your approach just staying strong? You know, like, it comes back to the mental approach, I think, a lot, because a lot of people would have been discouraged. And, you know, you don't get a contract right away. There's a lot of interest. So, you know, there's interest, which means there's, you have some kind of value and people appreciate that. But being a special role, right? Because a lot of people were looking at you as a shooter, just as a shooter. You know, what was your approach? Okay, summer's been like, it's November now. I'm home. I'm working on my game. I still want to play professional. You know, what was your approach that the whole time, this 6 months, 7 months you had off until the time where it came that, you know, to go overseas to get the contract finally?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, out of college, I think there was some hesitancy a little bit from some teams, just based on, you know, I was really going off of 1 year of stats. Like, I had good games, you know, from Cal Poly, but, you know, real heavy, you know, heavy stats, heavy load. Hey, you're one of the main guys on the team. I'm going off of 32 games. So I think that held some teams back a little bit, like, we wish it was 50 games, or, you know, 50 games at this, you know, at this level of volume, or, you know, whatever it may be. So I think that held it back a little bit. You know, and then sometimes it's like you said, sometimes in Europe, it's wacky. You know, we had a deal signed, contract signed on both sides, in the top league in the Czech Republic. I was all set to go out. And then a couple of days before I was supposed to leave, all of a sudden they pulled the deal. They found they wanted to sign a young Czech kid that they could pay like four times less than they were going to pay me. And sometimes that's just the way it works. So by that point, it's late August, kind of scrambling for some stuff. You know, teams are already getting out there in training camp. So you're trying to hop on, you know, at worst to get a training camp deal, at best to get a job late, you know, when, you know, if guys get hurt or if teams don't like their guys. So I was at home, took a couple of opportunities to work out with some G League teams, did really well in both of those workouts, was looking pretty good to be set up to possibly get a training camp invite with the G League team. Had a pretty nasty ankle injury, which put me out for a few weeks, if not a month, you know, of not being able to do anything. And, you know, I had some knee pain, and so I got an MRI and found out I had a little tear in a muscle right above my quad. Nothing serious, but enough that, you know, okay, I needed to work on some things, you know, structurally with my body. Had some imbalances. So I spent my time just working hard, staying diligent, trying to be mentally strong, going through a period where a lot happened in a really short period of time. You know, got a deal signed, all of a sudden it falls through, go do the G League thing, play the best basketball I'd played up to that point, get hurt, find out you have something a little more serious than before, and all within the span of you know, 60 days, maybe fewer, maybe within 50 days. So that was a mental grind for sure. You know, just not just in terms of feeling frustrated, but just being like, man, is all this work that I put in and all this, you know, that I've, you know, put myself through to get to this point. You know, I always say this, and I've always been the hardest worker in any, you know, team I've been on. And it was just like, man, did all this work, maybe this is the end. You know, I'm going to keep working really hard, and I'm going to keep doing, you know, controlling the things that I can control, but that thought creeps into the back of your mind a little bit, is, hey, is this the end? You know, is it over? Do I need to move on to the next chapter of my life? And I'd be lying if I said that those thoughts didn't come into my mind, you know, during that time frame. You know, and then COVID obviously shut some things down. We had a couple opportunities, you know, maybe to hop onto a team for the second half of the season, you know, over here in Europe. Unfortunately, some things in the world are, you know, more important than basketball, you know, right? So you have a global pandemic that shuts everything down. And hey, sometimes those are the way that the dice roll. But, you know, you control those things that you can control and work hard and try and stay mentally tough, you know, try and stay emotionally tough, which can be really hard, especially in the face of a lot of adversity. But, you know, I think it's, you know, I think it's a testament to how effective working hard and being mentally strong can take you. So, you know, we hop out of the pandemic and, or well, we're still in it, but, you know, we hop out of the period where teams in Europe are looking at guys again, you know, go to Vegas, you know, go to a showcase, do really well, got some extra film that showed, hey, this guy's not just a shooter. You know, he's a guy who can create out of the pick and roll. He's good on defense. He's a solid, you know, overall teammate, and he's effective outside of this role that we saw him in college. Hey, this guy's a real player. We need to have him. That's all hard work and determination, man. I mean, you know, you try and find that line between expanding your game, knowing your role. And I think I was able to do that well.
Well, I think you touched on the mental, on the mental toll that injuries can take on your body. And as you know, I've been through quite a bit last, you know, so I understand, you know, for me, it was one or the other, but it was like long-term injuries too. So I understand you're going to find depression. You're going to find a lot of thoughts that come to your head, you know, negative thoughts. And you just got to control that, you know, control what you can control. You can control those thoughts and kind of just take them, throw them away, but it's easier said than done, right? And to me, for example, I took a lot of appreciation in D-Rose lately. I was never a fan, to be honest with you. I thought it was just an athletic point guard, you know, amazingly athletic point guard, good player, but I was never a fan. And then it's like, oh man, just you see him get hurt, and it's like, oh, this is it, it's over. And then that's you know, me personally going through that, then that makes you appreciate so much more what he's doing right now and the level he came back at, because to me, that's the most impressive thing about it. You know, it's no one's been through what he's been through, and then to come back at that level, and you know, just everybody goes through something at a certain point in time that's really, you know, it can make it or break it. You know, it could have been, you know, you could have said, hey, I'm done, and you would never had this, you know, opportunity to play pro right now. So that's awesome. I think your dad had a lot to do with it, just because the way you talk about it, the way, you know, the framework, I feel like you've had the professional framework for, you know, just, you've had it before. You can see, you know, you're ready for it in multiple ways, and you're not your regular rookie, I'd say, you know. So now, after adjusting to Constanza, you know, being in Romania for what, 3 months now, you know, I know every team is different. What are your expectations out of yourself and out of your team this year in general? You know, knowing you have quite a young team right now, you know, and even though I feel like you're a rookie on paper, but you're not really a rookie, as you guys have only 3 or 4 foreigners, so. How, you know, what are your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I think this season, kind of just touching on it a little bit before we get to the team, you know, this season is going to be different, right? Depending on what country you're in, you know, the format of the league might get changed, or games might get canceled or suspended. You have to be able to take those punches and just keep, you know, keep getting through them, keep, you know, taking care of the work that you can take care of, and, you know, understand that things are not normal. You know, in the world right now, you know, for our team, we have a young team. You know, we've got some good veteran leadership as well. You know, overall, you know, we're probably the youngest team in the league, I would think. You know, if not, you know, maybe the second youngest. So there are going to be those young mistakes from our team. We only have three imports, you know, with three Americans, including myself, that would be expected to carry, a heavy load, like they are in every team. You know, there's a reason you have your, the foreigners that are brought in. They're expected to perform. Otherwise, it's on to the next guy. I mean, teams will find a guy that can perform the way that they want them to. So that, that creeps in your mind a little bit where, hey, each day needs to be fantastic, whether it's practice or weights or conditioning or, getting to play on the court. I just think for us as a team, it's trying to be competitive and help elevate each other, so that each guy is putting forth their best effort within, the overall goals of the team, while understanding, hey, maybe I have to pull back a little bit, or maybe my role is not as big as I thought it was going to be. And that's including myself, and everybody on our team. I mean, that's not, and that's everywhere throughout Europe. For myself, I just expect to come out and do what I do well and, keep trying to take those day by day improvements and keep adding to my game, and hopefully help elevate our team, to a better standing than we had last season. I think that's the goal of every team, is to just try and improve on the prior season. I think we'll be frisky. I think we have a bunch of guys that play really hard. And I think they have a bunch of guys that really care about basketball, which is huge. I mean, as you get guys on teams that either they just play because they're good or they play because there's a paycheck. I don't think we have that here. I think we have a lot of guys that truly care about basketball and are in the best interest of getting better. And then it's just about battling, who wants it more. Talent takes you to a certain point, right? And in some games we'll probably, run into some talent deficiencies, but we can help overcome that by playing hard, playing as a team, and trying to just be as best as we can be as a group. I think for myself, it's to take on that leadership role, and help try and elevate the younger guys, but, as well as the older guys too, and just try and help be a positive influence on guys and, take things day by day, but understand that there's also a target on our backs, as foreigners, and that anybody can be replaced at any time. So go out and give your best effort every day, on the basketball court, but as well as, from the mental and emotional side.
Absolutely. That's a good mentality to have. And now to end this, tell me your favorite thing to do in Constanza. Being at a seaside, being by the Black Sea, has its perks. So what has been some of your favorite things to do, in the city? I know you probably didn't have much time because of practice, but just like one, two things that you really like to do there.
Yeah. I mean, right now, especially you're trying to be extra, cautious as well, just, with the rising cases in the country. So trying to still be able to do some things outside of, practice and in the apartment. Going down to the beach is kind of the obvious one, right? Just because you have it. Yeah. You have it right there. So there's your obvious one. Water's warmer here than it is at home, so that's nice. Other than that, I've been going down. I went down to Old Town, out here in Constanza, and saw the historical landmarks and just kind of walked around and enjoyed seeing the sights and being in a culture that I've really hardly ever been exposed to previously. I think most Americans, when they hear Romania, they think Dracula, they think Bucharest. Yeah, right. No, seriously. Right. So, upon first, if you ask 10 out of 10 Americans, most of them will probably say Dracula, Bucharest. After that, they probably have no idea. it's about finding those little parts of a culture and trying to appreciate that, right? Like, as an American basketball player, you're coming over and living in a new country, in a new culture for 9 months, right? So if you don't take that opportunity to, at the very least, experience some of the culture, at the very least experience it, but the biggest thing is, I think, having positive takeaways from the cultural experience, because no one way is right. No one mindset, religion, whatever. No one's right. Right. Like, it has something that you can take away from and be able to experience positively. and help grow you as a person, which I think is, you know, one of the great things about doing what we do, you know, in playing professional basketball, is you get to experience things in places that maybe, you know, when you were a kid.
Awesome. That's cool stuff right there, Trevor. And I appreciate your time, man. I wish you good luck this season. Thanks for coming on. And I look forward to seeing how you guys are doing and how you are doing.
No, definitely, Matt. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Good luck this season. Be catching you on the court.
I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, man.